portion of my conference with you, I want to talk about current events in the light of Bible prophecy. And so today, in this session, I simply want to do something I'm calling the highlights of 1991 and 92. Do you realize that seven main stories made Time magazine? And every one of those seven, the Bible says, in the latter days, these conditions will exist. My whole purpose is just to show you that we're living in the latter days. I'm one who believes that Christ will come before the tribulation ever begins. So I believe that the very next thing on God's prophetic program will be the sound of the trumpet, the invitation for us to come up there. And that's a blessed hope, isn't it? And so what I want to do is to simply show you that we're living in the last days. And if that's true, then everything we're seeing around us is a buildup really for the tribulation period of time and the millennial kingdom. These signs are not really for us, they're for those who will go through that tribulation period of time. In our session tomorrow morning, I want to look at the New World Order. Do you know that the Bible has much to say about the New World Order? It's not an invention of George Bush, although it's made him a very famous man all around the world. Matter of fact, I happened to be in Washington when he inaugurated the New World Order. I was at a convention with about 3,000 or 4,000 other religious broadcasters, and they stood to applaud him, a standing ovation, when he introduced the New World Order. And I looked around, and there's about a dozen people still seated, and we were looking at each other just to say, "You mean no one here recognizes what the Bible says about the last political system?" It was a sad day, to be honest with you. And then in my last session with you, I want to look at the greatest sign that we're in the last days, Matthew 24. It has nothing to do with the rapture of the church. It is not Israel. Keep guessing. But the Bible is very clear. The great sign that we're at the end of the age. And so we'll look at that, the Lord tarries, tomorrow afternoon. I want us to begin as we look at the prophetic highlights in Matthew chapter 16. And what we're going to do is simply name some of these stories. We'll just do an introduction to each one of those and trust it will be fuel and food to you to continue the study of God's Word in terms of where we live. Sometimes people say, well, prophecy is not important, but it's interesting that one-fifth of all the Bible is prophecy, either at the time of its writing or right now. And I really think that a fifth of the Bible is important, don't you? So it must be. The Bible says that prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't you think his testimony is important? And so I think to see that God has used prophecy in a very unique way is indeed a valuable study. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 1, the Pharisees with the Sadducees came and testing him desired that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and overcast. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. You normally don't find these two groups of people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, coming together unless they're coming to question the Lord. And so they come at this particular time and they're saying, all right, show us a sign. We want to know, by what authority do you speak? And why do you preach the kinds of things that you do? If your words are true, then prove it by showing us a sign. I just say that that's a ridiculous request. And here's why. If you just go back to chapter 15, you know what you'll find? You'll find that in chapter 15, the first thing he does, he diagnoses the problems of a man, and he meets those needs. He takes a woman in, and he understands exactly her situation. He comes to a multitude of 4,000 men, besides women and children. It's a different story than the one we referred to earlier. And he has one lunch again with seven loaves and a few fish, and he feeds 4,000 men plus their families. And so he heals someone, he's met the needs of someone, he fed a multitude with a lunch, and he said, show us a sign. I mean, isn't that ridiculous? What more does he need to do? And so he says to him, listen, He said, you can look out of the sky and you have a better chance of forecasting the weather than you do of understanding the times. Now, weathermen have gotten pretty good. Well, at least they do it in a very clever way. You know, there's a 60% chance of rain. So when it doesn't rain, you know what he says? See, he says, there's the 40%. That's clever. They're not any better at guessing the weather. They're just smarter in how they put it out. Well, there's a saying in the Navy that red at night is a sailor's delight and red in the morning is a sailor's warning. Remember that? Well, it follows this, doesn't it? And he says, you can look out and you can look at the sky and you have a better chance of guessing the weather than you do of knowing where you are in terms of God's prophetic timetable. He says, a wicked and adulterous generation. Strong language, don't you think? That's not the way to build a congregation. Not the way to make friends. But it was true. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks a sign. And the only sign I'm going to give it will be the sign of Jonah. You see, signs today, I really believe that we've become so attached to those that people sometimes are shocked when I say, do you know that there's not one sign in all the Bible for the rapture? Now, there's a lot of signs, and we're going to look at a few. But there's not one sign in all the Bible for the rapture. There's a sound. And if you hear that, you're too late. The signs are all pointing to the tribulation. And the signs are pointing to the kingdom of God. And the signs are not for the church. We're to be looking for Him. We don't need a sign. We have a blessed hope. And yet I believe if we're not careful, we anchor in so much on the signs, we lose track of the fact that Christ is ready to come for His bride. Look, if you will, at the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. So what we simply want to do is to look, first of all, at the time element, and then we want to look at some of the great stories that have taken place. Luke's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, remember at the time of this writing, this was prophetic, wasn't it? It was a great prophecy. And we're so familiar with this, we call it Christmas, that sometimes we forget this was a great prophetic statement. He said, Mary, you're going to have a child. That was prophetic, wasn't it? And it was an incredible prediction because Mary was a virgin. In Isaiah chapter 7, it says that a virgin shall conceive. And he says this shall be the sign unto you. The sign is that a virgin will conceive and bear a son. And so when the announcement comes and the proclamation is made, Mary, you're going to have a child. She says, how can it be? I don't know a man. It will be virgin born. It will be miraculously born, won't it? It was prophetic. And it's easy for us looking back to say, well, you know, how could you ever doubt that? Can you imagine her when she got the news? Next, not only are you going to have a child, but it will be a son. The second prediction. Third, his name will be Jesus. Those were great predictions, weren't they? And everyone fulfilled. Now, verse 32. And he shall be great. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. How many days has Jesus ruled over Israel to date? The answer is none. But he will. You want to know why I know Christ will come again? Because the Bible clearly states that he will rule over the house of Jacob. And he hasn't done it yet, but he must. He must. Because that's God's prophetic word. And so the Bible is very clear in predicting that Christ would come the first time, and it's very clear that he's going to come again because he must rule over the house of Jacob. And when he begins his rule, there will be no end to that kingdom. He will never forfeit the kingdom. Look, if you will, at Matthew chapter 24. Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. We just want to pick out a verse or two in it for right now. We'll study it in more detail tomorrow afternoon. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give its light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of those mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming, and the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I believe that is the time that Christ will come and he'll put his feet upon the Mount of Olives and he'll split the mountain in two and he'll begin to rule and reign. And I'll tell you, when he begins his kingdom, there'll be no end to it. Won't that be a thrilling time to be part of God's plan? I tell you, I delight in that. And I believe that that day may be just a little over 7 years away. Because if the Lord were to come today, I believe that then the Antichrist would be revealed and a covenant would be made with Israel. Daniel 9:27 says the Antichrist will confirm the covenant with many. In other words, the nations will agree to this covenant and the Antichrist will bring Israel into agreement with it. The covenant will already be made. Frankly, did you look at the Middle East peace talks and did you notice how the nations were set there? Folks, it was no accident that America's been crowded out and Europe has stepped forward and center. You know what the Bible says? The Antichrist will come out of a revived Roman Empire. And I really believe that around that peace table, I think the Antichrist could well have been sitting. And so the church will be gone. And he'll begin a devilish plan to trick Israel into a covenant that has been endorsed by other nations. And then the tribulation will begin. And at the end of that period of time, Christ will come and he'll rule and reign. That's what the Bible says. Immediately after the tribulation, that's when he will come and he will set up his kingdom. The Bible also indicates that before he comes to set up his kingdom, that there will be the battle of Armageddon. Joel 3 says that all the nations will come. Look at Joel chapter 3. An Old Testament book, Joel chapter 3. In verse 2, he says, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will judge them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Verse 12. Let the nations be wakened and come to the mount of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the nations round about. Put in a sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for the wickedness is great. He's referring to this day of judgment as a wine press. Which when you begin to press the grapes down, that the blood or the juice would overflow. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened. The stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. You see, the Bible is very clear that there will be a day that Christ will come and he'll rule and reign. And when he begins, there'll be no end. And before that day can ever begin, there will be the battle of Armageddon, when all the nations of the world will gather together to wipe out Israel. Their purpose, according to Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 and Joel 3, is for all the nations to come and to wipe out Israel. And in the very nick of time, I mean at the precise moment when it looks like Israel's last day is on the earth, Christ will come to the Mount of Olives. And when he does, he'll split the mountain, Zechariah 14. I think he'll walk through the east gate as he did triumphantly on another occasion. He'll establish his place in the temple and he'll make his way to Megiddo, and there he will defeat every nation with one of the greatest judgments ever rendered on planet Earth. But you know what? Before the Battle of Armageddon takes place, there'll be 7 years of tribulation. Revelation 6 through 19 describes it. It talks about plagues for which there is no cure. Folks, I'll tell you what, I believe you begin to read those and you look at the plague of AIDS and we're there, aren't we? It begins talking about the earth in desperate straits with famines and earthquakes, and where a fourth of the earth is consumed with fire. I'll tell you, it's going to be a time of judgment, isn't it? But you know what? Before that can ever take place, there's going to be a peace treaty made with a false Christ. I look at what is going on in the Middle East. Can you believe they're talking about peace with all that is transpiring there? It's ridiculous, isn't it? I'll show you some of the claims in just a minute. We'll read them from today's paper and magazines. But the Bible is clear that before that tribulation can ever begin, the Antichrist will confirm the covenant with Israel for one period of seven. And I believe the Bible is very clear that before the Antichrist can ever be released to do his devilish work, Christ will come in the clouds for those that know him. That's our blessed hope, isn't it? Now, listen, every sign we're going to look at, it's a sign of the tribulation and a sign of the millennial kingdom. And we're out of here before that ever begins. I went shopping with my son. That's a dangerous thing. He's 16. And as we're shopping there, you know, and he's got this poor cook running back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I said, Kyle, what are you doing? He said, Dad, he said, this is terrible. I said, well, what are we going to do? He says, we're out of here. I mean, he left. He said, Dad, come on, we're out of here. Well, we left. The poor salesman came back and we were gone. Dirty thing to do, isn't it? But I like that expression, we're out of here. You want to know why? Because I'll tell you what, one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound and we're out of here. We're out of here. And they're going to be looking around for us. And we're going to be gone. We're going to be with Christ. Let me ask you this. Are you ready if Christ were to come today? You see, these signs, everything we're going to look at, it will have its fulfillment in the tribulation period of time. And I really don't believe we go through 1 second of the tribulation. Now, what are some of those great signs? Well, you know what? As you begin to look at the featured news stories of the last year and a half, and you begin to look at what the Bible says, among the things the Bible indicates that in the last days there would be a great uprising in Iraq or Babylon. We just watched it. And the Bible is so brave to say it will come in two parts. There will be one time when all the nations will gather, it will die down, and then there will be another conflict in which Babylon will be totally destroyed. And it won't be the United States. The Bible says Israel will be the battle axe and the weapon of war. Let's look at it. Then, there's another one that talks about there will be the pursuit of peace in the Middle East, and when they say peace, peace, there will be sudden destruction. The Bible says that in the last days, there would be a revived Roman Empire. Look at the common market. I mean, this is their year. I want to show you the headlines from their newspapers. The Bible even indicates that the last political system would not be communism. It indicates that there would be the collapse of communism. That's pretty brave, don't you think? I mean, less than a year ago, who would have made that prediction? But it's interesting. The Bible says not communism, but Russia would come against Israel. The Bible even talks about the rebirth of Russia. The Bible talks about how that in the last days, Israel will be excited about a Messiah, and they will get the false Messiah, and they'll be excited about sacrifices in Israel. And the Bible talks about how that in the last days, there will be a Laodicean church, a false church, concerned with the externals and not with the internals at all. And you know what? Every one of those things, the Bible says, in the last days, these will be the conditions. And all of those made headlines. But let's look at them. Let's begin by looking at the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 3. And all we'll do is touch on these, and I trust spur your appetite that you might be willing to study even more. Hosea chapter 3 and verse 4. It reads this way, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king and shall fear the Lord in his goodness in the latter days. Now this is definitely a last day prediction, isn't it? And as we look at these things, are these things coming true? Well, to me, it's interesting. Recently, I was talking with Colonel Yehuda Levy, who is now the publisher of the Jerusalem Post. And as we were talking about the last days in Israel, I said, you know, this is a great prediction. He says, he says, we fulfill this in a marvelous way. I was anxious to see what he was going to say. And he began talking about how that Israel has come back to the land to seek the Lord. Now, this man is not a believer in Jesus Christ. He's looking for the Messiah. As a matter of fact, have you seen the news lately about all the Jews that are looking for the Messiah? The country is splattered with banners, yellow banners, welcoming the Messiah. And they're so desperate that the best candidate they can find is an 86 or 87-year-old man in New York that's never been to Israel that's had a stroke. Now, I think they're desperate, don't you? But the Bible says, listen, they're going to be looking for a Messiah. They're going to be so desperate, they're going to actually take a false Christ and put him there as a Messiah. It could happen, couldn't it? Because that's how anxious they are. And it's not just a few crazy Jews. Listen, this thing is sweeping the entire country. And while they may not be the majority at this moment, it's just a matter of time until they get so desperate, they will take whoever Satan would raise up. And so the Bible says, listen, Israel is going to be without a king. Have they been without a king? Well, there hasn't been a king since the days of the Romans, has there? And it says they're going to be without a sacrifice. You realize that there's been no animal sacrifice in Israel from 70 AD until now? But do you realize that both a king and a sacrifice are in the offings for Israel? Israel today desperately wants a sacrifice and is ready to accept a king. When Begin was prime minister, before he died, as prime minister, he said, listen, he said, I will resign as the prime minister and so will any other prime minister because Israel will be ruled by a king. And he offered his resignation when the king comes. Quite a statement. Can you imagine our president saying, hey, you know what, we're going to change forms of government, and if the right guy comes, I'm going to resign. Can you imagine that? Well, it's not going to happen here, is it? But it's already happened there. And then it says, without a sacrifice, a sacrifice will come again. It says that Israel will return and they'll seek the Lord. And Colonel Levy said, do you realize that in Isaiah it says that Israel will come back, and he says they will come back out of the east? I said, yeah, I guess so. He said, you know, that when we became a nation in 1948, the first group of Jews that came back to settle were from China. I said, well, you know, what does that prove? He says, well, then the Bible says that Israel returned out of the West. He said, the next group came out of Europe, the West. And then he says, the next group, the Bible says that they will come out of the North. And he had in his hand a paper that talked about the Russian Jews coming back. And he says, then, it says, finally they will come out of the south. And he showed me the other headline of them coming out of Ethiopia. He says, we're ready for the Messiah. I tell you, isn't that thrilling? Now, what they don't know is that before the Messiah comes, there's 7 years of tribulation. But they honestly believe that we're living in the latter days. They think this is on the verge of being fulfilled. What about Israel in terms of a sacrifice, and in terms of that? Well, I'll tell you, there's a great interest in sacrifice. One of those articles was published in a Time magazine. Can you believe Time magazine would actually carry an article on it? And the article is I've got it reproduced here. Time for a New Temple. Time magazine, Time for a New Temple. And they began to talk about how that for hundreds of years, there's been the hope of returning animal sacrifices to Israel. And it says, may it be thy will that the temple be speedily rebuilt in our day. That plea to God, recited 3 times a day in a Jewish prayer, expresses the yearning that makes Jerusalem's Temple Mount potentially the most volatile 35 acres on planet Earth. And it goes on to say that right now the Jews are frustrated because they have 613 laws, 300 of which cannot be fulfilled. They can't even be Orthodox until they sacrifice. So, as a result of that, they're not even allowed on the Temple Mount. There's a sign that says, according to Jewish law, it is strictly forbidden for anyone to enter the Temple Mount owing to its sanctity, signed by the chief rabbi. But if they could find the ashes of a red heifer and make purification water, and then purify a priesthood and a Sanhedrin, then they could begin to go to the Temple Mount and they could begin to do animal sacrifices. Will it occur? Well, here's an article out of their paper, the Jerusalem Post, In Search of the Ashes of the Red Heifer. And it shows the rabbi on a kibbutz. We've been to the kibbutz before. And they're using genetic engineering now to try to breed perfectly designed sacrifice animals. Now, here's my point. The Bible says that in the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to stop the sacrifice. Is that right? Matthew 24, verse 15, Daniel 9:27. In the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist will stop the sacrifice. Listen, if he's going to stop it in the middle of the tribulation, it's got to start sometime between now and the middle of the tribulation. Right? Here's another article. Look at this one. This one is the article that says, speedily and in our time. And it talks about how their desire is to complete what they believe is the welcoming committee for the Messiah, and that is to begin animal sacrifices and sacrifices again. When we go back to Israel this June, we will visit an institution that is ordaining priests. They have over 200 priests that they've already ordained. They have 67 or 66 articles that they believe are actual artifacts out of the temple. And they're manufacturing others so they can begin temple worship. You know what? That's not a sign for the Lord's coming for the church. That's a sign that the tribulation's coming, because they will begin those sacrifices, and the Antichrist will be so mad in the middle of the tribulation, he'll stop the sacrifice. What a sign that we must be approaching the time when all of that will take place. And there are a number of other articles that we could look at, but I believe it's an incredible time to see Israel doing exactly what the Bible says. In the latter days, they will return to a king, and they'll return to animal sacrifices, and both of those are going on at this very moment in Israel. You know what? We must be living in the last days. And then the Bible says, in the last days, that one of the things that you'll know is that you'll see a revived Roman Empire. Now, we're going to spend a whole hour on this tomorrow morning. And so I don't want to take a lot of time today. I just want to introduce you to several ideas, just so you can be thinking about some of this. But the Bible says, in the last days, there will be a government, Revelation chapter 17, verse 10, and it says that five governments will fall. One is, and another one is not yet. And when it comes, it'll rule for 1 hour, and it'll give its power to the beast, and the beast will come out of it. Remember the image of Daniel. And it goes through every Gentile world power. Well, as you talk about the nations that have fallen, you say Assyria, Egypt, the Medes and Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Well, this is when we join with Daniel, so that would be the head of gold. Then the Medes and the Persians, Alexander the Great and the Grecians. Five, he said, will fall. He said one is. Now that was Rome, wasn't it? And as you go to Daniel and you begin to look at the image, and we'll do this in more detail tomorrow, as you come to the image, remember it shows the legs of iron, doesn't it? And when you come to the toes, they're part of iron and part of clay. In other words, something of the iron legs will still be there in those 10-nation federation. And Daniel says that a stone came and it hit the image in the toes, in the feet. Crushed the image, grounded the power, and when that stone began to grow, there was no end to that kingdom. It has to be the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes when there's 10 kings that make themselves known. And it comes when they're part iron and part clay, a revival of that Roman Empire. You're looking at me like you've never heard this before. I know you have, but let's look at it again. Revelation chapter 17. Could just be the effect of Saturday afternoon. Revelation chapter 17. He says, there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen. 1 is. And the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he will continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So there is God's prophetic plan written 1900 years ago. So don't tell me that this is some come lately story about prophecy. 1900 years ago, the Bible documents what the last political power will be. All right, 7 kings, 5 are fallen. Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, Medes and the Persians, Alexander the Great. 5 are done. He said 1 is right now. Now, who was in power when Revelation was written? Rome. So he said 5 are down. 1 is. He said the next one that comes, he said, will be this 10-nation federation. This revival of the Roman Empire. And when he comes to power, he'll only have power 1 hour, and within 1 hour, he'll give their power to the beast who pops up out of this confederation. Now, that's a bold prediction. I mean, who in the world would ever make that kind of prediction? Well, the Bible. And it says that this is a latter-day phenomenon. Let's see what the articles, the newspaper articles, are saying. Here's one. A unified Europe, a truly common market by 1992. Listen, since the fall of the Roman Empire, there's been the dream of a unified Europe, a revived Roman Empire. The 12 members of the common market plan to integrate their economies by 1992. They will issue a single currency, totally deregulate capital markets, It will be a time when there's a revived Roman Empire, a chance to rule the world again. Don't you like that? That's not a Christian publication. That's the public newspaper. The Chicago Tribune. I love to quote them. Sometimes I have to warn people, this is not a Christian publication. Listen to this. European community sees political union by 1992. They begin by saying, we'll be an economic unit. Now listen. Dateline Dublin. The European community, until now an economic bloc, committed itself Saturday to a political union by the end of 1992. At the moment, the idea is a blank slate. Even France and Germany, who pushed the idea, could not say what they meant by it. But history is moving so fast in Europe, the fear for change is so high, that no one here in the Irish capital doubted the idea would take on a life of its own, and so on and so on. I love it. I mean, you couldn't design a better headline, could you? Now look at this. U.S. News and World Report. Boarding the European bandwagon. And the thing that's interesting is they say, hey, there are 12 members in right now. There are 5 more that want it, and there are 6 others that are trying to get ready. And they say, there's only 1 more that can make it in by the first of the year. You know what the Bible says? That there will actually be 13, and when the Antichrist comes, he'll pull 3 out, and it'll leave 10. Now, does that put goosebumps on your goosebumps? You see, I don't plan to be around when all this takes place. I believe we'll be raptured before this ever takes place. And if this is the last kingdom, and we're looking at the last kingdom, folks, you know what? Our days are numbered. Now, don't trust these things. This is Wall Street Journal. It's not a Christian publication. Were you aware of that? Look at this. Today, Tuesday, Brussels agreement to merge the European Community and European Free Trade Association is just as important as the press release says. I'll read the whole thing tomorrow. 2 economic communities join hands. They bring 19 nations together for the most powerful trading bloc in all the world. That happened just this year. And they say, to this we say, bravo. Can you believe you're living in a time like this? This is incredible. The Atlantic Journal, it's not a Christian publication. Full page on the New World Order. It says, this is what we've been waiting for. This is the thing that's going to bring in a utopia. This is going to bring in peace. This is going to bring in the millennium. They have the nerve to say that. Oh, my goodness. Northwest Airlines, 1992 and all that. I can hardly wait to read all these for you tomorrow. We'll read most of these tomorrow. Look, how will Israel ever accept an Antichrist out of the common? You ever think about that? Am I the only one that says, I don't know how you're going to do this, Lord. You've got to get those Jews to accept a false prophet out of the common. How can you do that? Look at the special edition of the Jerusalem Post. See what they're pursuing for number 13? The Star of David. I called Colonel Everett. I said, how do you have the nerve to do that? Entering Europe's church. He said, we know America's falling, and we know the next power of the world is Europe. Folks, that's exactly what the Bible said. Now, I'm going to be out of here. Here's the question. Are you ready? I am. You see, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And when the trumpet sounds, I'm going to be with Him. Are you ready? Has there ever been a time that you saw that Christ's work on the cross is sufficient to save? And if not, you're not ready. And you can even know the color of the Antichrist. You can know his initials, and you're not ready. Unless you've been to the cross. That's in that Jesus Christ's blood and his death and his resurrection is sufficient and sufficient alone for the salvation of souls. Well, we'll look at some of these tomorrow, but here's an interesting one. This is the front page of the European paper. On the front page, here they have it. The new Mr. Europe. Now listen to this. He will take over the presidency in January 1993 at what in theory will be the dawn of the new Europe, when Europe will dominate and control the world. That's a nervy headline, don't you think? The dark side of 1992 is Forbes magazine. It's not a Christian publication. They say, will there be one Europe or two? They say, only one. Will there be one economy or two? Now, the Bible is very clear that in the end time, they're going to bring together one political system. I personally believe that the New World Order is moving toward that one political system, don't you? We have states in this country that summarize, that only paraphrase the flag salute. They don't say the flag salute. Can you believe it? They say we're global citizens and not American citizens. Now, I don't know what that does to your blood pressure, but I know what it does to mine. I think the whole thing is being prepared for this global one world system. We're being prepared for one religion. The New Age is bringing everyone together. It's impacting our schools, our business seminars, everything we touch. You know what the Bible says? In the last days, there would be one world religion, one world politics and a one world economic system. And Forbes magazine says one currency or two. And they answer the question, ultimately, a move to our single currency is about symbolism power. Whoever issues a currency will control the world. I tell you, that's exciting to me. You want to let me show you. I was going to save this for tomorrow, but I'm too excited about it. I get excited about this stuff. I keep thinking any minute that Trump is going to stand, we're going to be out of here. Recently, I had a fellow tell me, have you seen what they're doing in terms of world money? And I had to plead ignorant. And so I sent away to the Thomas Cook Currency Exchange in Seattle, Washington, and I asked him for a sample of world currency. And this man told me, he says, do you realize that most of the countries have reprinted their money so that on every piece of money, with the exception of three or four major money systems in the world, there's a blank space so that the new world order can now print a new code, not a secret code, but a code that will convert any money system in the world to a new world order money system. I said, no, that's, you know, they've been rumoring this for... He said, no, he said... And he said, furthermore, when you hold it up, you'll see the hologram in it. Well, here's Ireland. And see the blank spot? Have you ever wondered, why is there a blank spot there? And if you hold it up, you can see the hologram. And here are some of the other ones. For example, this one is out of Greece. See the blank spot? And if you hold it up, you can see the hologram. And here is New Zealand. And they reprinted theirs and put the blank spot in it. And here's Sweden, brand new printing with a blank spot. So that when the new world order really does come to one commerce, they don't reissue all the money at one time. They simply say, look, this may have been worth 10 in Sweden, but in the new world order, maybe it's worth 4 or 3. And this one is out of Jamaica. And here's the one out of Germany. And here's the one out of, I think it's Hong Kong. And another one. Every one of them, redone. And we sit here and wonder how near we are to the end. Here's Israel. Israel even redid theirs and put a hologram on theirs so they could become a part of the whole thing. And here's France. And I tell you, we got back from Russia, and we have a press over there printing Bibles, and they interrupted our printing. You want to know why? They had to print new money. So they took the presses we had for Bibles, they printed new money, and guess what? There's a blank spot on both sides of their money. And every single one. Now, I did this a couple weeks ago when I was on the West Coast, and I had a young man come to me, and he says, I think you're nuts. I mean, he was very kind about it. He said, I think you're crazy. He said, I collect money. He said, I don't know that that's true. I said, well, I said, all I can tell you is that this is every piece of money they sent me from the Thomas Cook Exchange Service, every piece had that on there. Well, here's this letter. Rob, thanks for coming out to speak this week. You made mention of the blank spots of money. I had to check something out. When I was in the Navy, I did a lot of traveling in Asia and the Middle East and so on. He said, one thing I collected was various denominations of paper money. I went home and checked. He said, in my collection, I have 14 different money systems. And he said, 13 of the 14 all had blank spots. I want to apologize to you. Here's two more to add to your collection. The Arab world has just reprinted their money. And guess what? Every one of them had a blank spot put on their money. Now, you know what? I don't think that's a sign for the rapture. I think it says we're living in the last days. And I really believe that we're getting set up for the tribulation. And before the tribulation ever begins, guess what? We're out of here. Are you ready? I tell you, we ought to be excited. We ought to be excited to know that very soon the Lord is coming and His whole plan will come in a great fulfilled way. Isn't that marvelous to be a part of God's grand plan? But the question I believe is this. If this is the last day, then are we really living in the light of it? Well, we have some other things that would be fun to show. Let me just show you one other. And we'll get into more details on this. But, you know, look at this. A full-page ad in the Wall Street Journal of the Tower of Babel. Now, they say that this represents the common market. I mean, they chose this. And they talk about how that this is a parable, and it applies, it's aimed specifically at the late 20th century. And they're going to talk about, I'll quote them, says, they all spoke one common language, and because of this, nothing was impossible to them. See what they're trying to say? If we can unite, nothing's impossible. But then God came, messed it up, brought confusion. Confusion reigned. Nothing was possible. Now, the common market, in open mockery, chose that poster as an official symbol and printed it on the front of their literature. And they say Europe, many tongues in one voice, and they give that same poster with a modern crane, and then the 12 stars they invert, and look at the inverted star. Ever see the sign of the occult? Well, there it is. Can you believe they've got the nerve to print that? Now, also in Revelation 17, it says that in the last days, it will be represented by a woman, a harlot, a whore, riding on a beast. Isn't that what it says? And the harlot will be religion, and the beast will be the political systems. I'm not making that up, am I? I mean, does your Bible read the same as mine? The cover, front page cover of the June issue of the Common Market magazine, and it shows a Roman goddess riding on a beast. I know you say, well, that's just an accident. So probably is their stamp, their second stamp, is a woman called the Goddess of Europe riding on a beast, title, Begging to be Worshipped by the World. And then Time magazine, maybe they have a misprint, because guess what? They picture the Common Market as a woman riding on a beast. And you know what? They mention Revelation 17. Folks, you know what? I believe we're living in the last days. And I can be accused of being a kook and a phony and a flake and all of that, and it doesn't matter, because when the trumpet sounds, you know what? We'll be out of here. Are you ready? That's the question. And you know, this whole world, it has this looking at all of the big business and all of the great success, and we ought to be looking for Jesus. And the best news of all is that Christ came, and He died, and He rose again, and He rose with power. And He's going to come and take us home, and He's going to come again with power, and He's going to rule and reign when He begins. There'll be no end to that kingdom. And folks, I'll tell you what, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm going to be a part of the kingdom of God. And listen, when we begin to see how near we are to that, that ought to change every single value and every single breath we take. Because I really believe that we're living at the very end of time. Oh, let's go quickly. I want to show you one other one. Do I have time? They said, did you say dinner was late tonight? Man, what a lucky break. What a lucky break. Look at Jeremiah chapter 49. We've got to look at this one. Jeremiah 49. I'm starting to get excited. Another hour and I'll really get excited. Hey, I know you'll be asleep. Jeremiah 49 and verse 39. And look what this says. Now this is incredible. Every one of these things, these are the news stories. And we'll look at it in verse 39. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, says the Lord. And then it begins to say in chapter 50, verse 1, the word that the Lord spoke against Babylon, against the land of the Chaldeans, by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare among the nations, publish, and set up a standard, publish and conceal it not. And then it begins to talk about a destruction of Babylon. Verse 9, for lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in an array against her. From there she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. We'll just stop there. There's more we can read. And I'll tell you, it's fantastic to read that and to see what God's plan is. This was written, can I just remind you, this was written 2,600 years ago. And the Bible says, listen, in the last days, in the latter days. Now, if this was fulfilled hundreds of years ago, why are we still around? But if we're still around, that couldn't have been the last days when Israel came back from Babylon, could it? And so I maintain that we're looking at these things to be fulfilled in our day. I wish I could say that I was so bright that several years ago, I said, you know what? Before all of this takes place, here's what's going to take place in Iraq. I wish I could say that. But you know what I have to confess? I'm so ignorant that when the whole thing began to unfold, I said to my wife, boy, that sure sounds like Jeremiah, doesn't it? And all I could do, I was at a camp in Canada. I remember the exact place. I remember the exact cabin I was in. And I kept reading, and I said, now listen to this. And I would read it. And she would say, well, a little bit like that. But she says, you know, you got to look at the history. I said, well, I know. But I said, it's never been fulfilled. I mean, I could hardly sleep for 2 or 3 days. And finally, I called old brother Noah Hutchins at Southwest Radio Church. And I said, Noah, he said, man, he said, I can't even sleep. I said, why? He said, have you read Jeremiah? I said, that's exactly why I'm calling you. At least I knew there were two of us that were crazy. And you begin to look at this, I'll tell you, it's an incredible time. The Bible says in the last days, there's going to be people that will come against Babylon or Iraq. Did that happen? And then it says in verse 9, you'll know because it will be a great assembly of nations. 30 nations came against that rock. Find one other time in the history of Babylon when 30 nations came against her. It says out of the north country. I honestly believe out of the northern hemisphere. Look at the 30 nations that aligned. And then it says they will set themselves in an array or an embargo. Did that happen? It says later in the chapter, and that will force them to release hostages. It even mentions hostages. Another accident? And then it says they will use arrows, and they will be as mighty expert men of war. None shall return in vain. During the Persian Gulf crisis, just prior to that time when war broke out, we did video number one. And through the encouragement of some of the brothers back home, we decided to put it on television. I know what you're thinking. That's crazy. And we had enough response the first night that we ran it again a week later. We had about 2,000 calls. I think Brad and Alex might have been there to answer phones with us one of those nights. But it was an incredible time. And after the first one, they advertised the second one well enough that some of the men on the air base, we have a large air base there, watched. And the next day, they called and said, we saw the program last night. We want to know if we can come out and talk to you because we're pilots and we're getting ready to go to Saudi Arabia. I said, sure, come out.